You are listening to the Wednesday Eastern Conference edition of the Locked On NHL podcast. I'm Ross Levitan from Locked On Senators alongside Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs. And we have the second Battle of Ontario coming up on Friday. But as we do each and every week, we'll get into the highs and lows of the Eastern Conference. All-star voting wrapped up. Who are our choices to represent the Atlantic and Metropolitan Division? Plus, a very polarizing situation occurred in Philadelphia with their Pride Night yesterday. We'll get into all that and more. This is the Locked On NHL podcast. It's your team every day.
Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thank you for making Locked On NHL your first listen on this Wednesday, January 18th. The show is free and available on all platforms, including on YouTube, where the best way you can help the show grow is to subscribe to the Locked On NHL channel and leave a comment below as well. We want to know, who are your extra all-stars, your fan-voted all-stars? You're a fan? Well, vote. Let us know who your final two skaters and one goalie are for the Atlantic Division and the Metropolitan. Mikey, let's get into that right off the bat. Who do you have?
So a couple of guys that I think deserve to be in on each one. First of all, I had a big issue with the way that the voting went down in terms of when they chose the original 32. You look at both of these divisions, both of the teams, not one of them have a defenseman on it. How can you have an all-star game and you're missing one third of the positions in the freaking tournament? It just makes no sense to me how not a single defenseman was chosen to represent the Atlantic or the Metro. And unless one gets voted in, they just aren't going to have D-men. And I think it's just dumb. It's an all-star game. How do you completely omit one of the three positions, forward, goalie, defense, on two of the teams? It's just absurd to me. So that being said, I made sure that both of these squads will have at least one defenseman representing their divisions. And the first one, I think, is Rasmus Dahlin in the Atlantic. I like Dahlin's had an amazing season this year. His numbers look favorable. He's having a breakout in terms of, you know, goal scoring, what he's been able to do. He's 25th in the National Hockey League in points. Overall, 48 points in 42 games, 13 goals on the year. He's a plus 14. So he's been on the ice for a lot more goals than he's been scored on. And he's been a big reason for why that team has been so successful. Him and Tage Thompson, who already was selected into the All-Star break. So I believe that Dahlin is a player who I think deserves to be there, and he got my vote at the All-Star game. And then the other one who I think is deserving to be there is William Nylander. Like, I know that this might be a fan, you know, people looking and saying, oh, you got blue and white disease, but Nylander deserves to be at this All-Star game over Mitch Marner, if you ask me. So I think based off merit, he deserves to get the recognition to get in there. As a 50-goal scorer, or as a 50-point scorer, he's been unbelievable this season, not only in defensive side of things, but even offensively. He's really picked up defensively, he's really picked up his game. He's third in the NHL in takeaways, Ross. Third in takeaways this season, just three shy of being the leader. He's 17th in the NHL in overall points this season. I think he's been unbelievable. He's having a career year. He should be rewarded with it with one of the final two skater positions in the Atlantic.
So I just tweeted out last night that I think Nylander's nasty. Obviously scored the game-winning goal in that wacky, wild game against the Florida Panthers where Matt Murray lets in 4-on-8, and they still come back, storm back, and win the game. I like William Nylander.
Hold on.
You've been sleeping on David Pastrnak all year. You don't have the third leading scorer in the NHL going to the All-Star game? David Pastrnak.
I'll be honest.
You told me William Nylander's third in takeaways. How about third in points?
No one cares about points, Ross. Come on, let's be honest. No one cares about points. I'll pick up Pastrnak. Hold on. Who's the representative for
Linus Ullmark? And he deserves to be there too.
Okay. Agreed. I'll be honest. I forgot. I thought Pastrnak was the guy who was picked for the Boston Bruins, because that's asinine to me that he was not chosen. So I'm with you on that one. Okay. Oh, man, that's going to be tough. The fact that they only allow two extra votes.
I know.
That's honestly so dumb the way that they have it nowadays.
It's so
that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I pooped the bag on that one. I'll take the L.
What you have to remember, though, is that it's not for the fans. They want it to say it is, but it's for the kids who aren't old enough to use a computer and vote, and it's also for the sponsors. So, but to me, where I went with this, and I love the Darlene pick, I really do. So as I'm going to torch you for one, I'll pat you on the back for the other. Talk about how defensemen take a little bit longer to develop. Darlene is the perfect example of why you cannot give up on defensemen too early. He looks like a bona fide star in the making. But then, if I'm going to do that, then I have to at least look at who's the top team in either the league or the division. And I think that they should naturally have more people at the All-Star game. But you're right. The way they've done this, it leaves so little room. Like, I remember the days where teams would have four or five guys representing just the one team.
Yep.
And that made sense. But now that it's 3-on-3, they've cut the rosters down so much that you don't really have much wiggle room at all. So the Atlantic Division, as it stands right now, Nikita Kucherov, Dylan Larkin, Mitch Marner, Nick Suzuki, Tage Thompson, Brady and Matthew Tkachuk, and Linus Ullmark. I like the Tkachuk storyline. I think that's cool for all the content that they're going to be doing down there. Tim Stützle would have been my all-star choice for the Ottawa Senators. Brady's had some great moments, but throughout the consistency of it. And I think in all-star, Pilsy and I were joking on Locked On Sens, like, what's Brady's skills competition event going to be? Like, screening the goalie? Tipping pucks in front of the net? Like, what smashing bodies in the corner? So.
What do you think?
I mean, last year he was there, right? He was a last second replacement because Drake Batherson took that dirty hit from Aaron Dell. He was the replacement there. He did one of the, was it blackjack? Remember they went outside?
Oh, yeah, with the shooting, with the pucks. Pavelski won it, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that's what Brady Tkachuk took place in last season. So I'll tell you one thing for free. He ain't doing fastest skater.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not going to be doing that. I think Dylan Larkin's probably the guy in the Atlantic there pegging for fastest skater.
Yeah, 100%. No, I like that. You know what? I got to give we're going to stick with the Atlantic for now. So, yeah, David Pastrnak, I think it's a no-brainer, and I think I was able to talk you into that one as well. Look, William Nylander's having a phenomenal season, and I don't want to take anything away from him as well. But when I'm looking at the Atlantic division here, I think I'm going to go all forwards. Now, you're kind of scaring me out of it, but I think I got to stick with forwards, and I'm looking at guys who maybe deserve but have been overlooked in the past, and I'm having trouble settling on one guy, but almost looking for content purposes, I'm going to go I'm talking myself into circles right now, because if I say Tim Stützle, you're going to absolutely lambaste me, and rightfully so. You know what? You know what? I'm going to – I'll wait for that one.
I mean, you can take Darlene too. We could be aligned. We can agree on a player that needs to – that should be there. I mean, Steven Stamkos having a great year too. I think he's an honorable mention that should get some love. You know, who else is up there that's in the Atlantic that's not getting talked about enough, that isn't getting enough love right now?
You mentioned Stamkos already, right? 49 points in 42 games. So you just look at those three top teams. Like, dude, it wouldn't even be that crazy to take two extra Boston Bruins. Like, look at the year Brad Marchand's having since coming back from injury. Patrice Bergeron, I think he probably would say politely, thanks, but no thanks. But, man, you want to talk about a defenseman that doesn't fit the All-Star game, but I just want to shout him out. Hampus Lindholm and what he's done in Boston. Unreal defenseman. Unreal defenseman.
Yep. Agreed.
But let's go with Darlene. Let's settle on Darlene Pastrnak for the two spots. Who's your goalie from the Atlantic outside of Linus Ullmark, who's putting up, like, I don't even know what to even call this, because they're not all-star numbers. These are superstar numbers from Linus Ullmark. He's 23-2-1.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane what this guy's been able to do this year. 936 save percentage, 192 goals against, leads both categories, couple shutouts on the year as well. Look, the only other goalie that I think even makes remote sense is Vasilevsky. That's a pretty open shut case. There's no one else in the Atlantic that even deserves to be in the discussion, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. Like, outside of it, you're looking at who?
Matt Murray?
I don't even think every team has a starter solidified in the Atlantic outside of that.
You know who I might even give a little love to for, like, maybe next man up?
Mm.
What's your boy Anton Forsberg?
Yeah, but he's had too many stinkers. Like, he's had good games, but he's just had stinkers.
Everyone's had stinkers, man. Like, everybody, all the goalies in this in this division. Like, I mean, Bobrovsky, like, Spencer Knight maybe would have been the guy, but he's hurt. And, you know, even he's had an up-and-down season. Bobrovsky's had a very up-and-down season. Toronto's tandem, they've been, you know, good, but not, like, overly great. Like, the last month, Murray's got an .888 save percentage. So, it hasn't been, you know, stellar by any stretch of the imagination. Who am I forgetting? Ullmark is in.
Vasilevskiy. Craig Anderson.
You want to put in 42-year-old Craig Anderson?
I mean, you would hate that. Dude, he's got a .917 save percentage. That's impressive to me. But no, I'm obviously saying it tongue-in-cheek.
Didn't they lose to Chicago last night? That's a tough L. Tough L to take. I saw a Buffalo reporter. They lost an over. They're up 3-1. Gave up the lead in the third period, then lost in overtime. It's funny because I saw a reporter from Buffalo. I'm not gonna clown on him because I've had my share of bad takes. It's not that it was a bad take, but it's like one of those old takes exposed type of moments. They went up 3-1, and he's like, I covered the 14-15 Buffalo Sabres who were atrocious, but I would take that team over this current Blackhawks team who is even worse. They ended up losing. Then later that game and later that night to the Blackhawks. So I thought that was a funny little.
The Sabres are reeling right now.
Are they?
Oh yeah, dude. They're 1-4-1 in their last six. One win in their last six.
Yeah, they've been very streaky. Like they'll win 4 in a row, 5 in a row, then they'll lose a few. Then they'll win 3 or 4, and then they'll lose a few. Yeah, they're an interesting club this year.
3 wins in 9 games since January 1st.
Mm. Yeah.
But that's kind of what you expect. These are the growing pains that you expect for a young team. Okay, so we have it. I think we're unanimous in the Atlantic Division that it should be David Pastrnak, Rasmus Dahlin, and Andrei Vasilevskiy.
Yes, I'll co-sign that.
How about the Metropolitan Division? Right now, Sidney Crosby, Johnny Gaudreau, Kevin Hayes, Jack Hughes, Brock Nelson, Alex Ovechkin, Andrei Svechnikov, and Igor Shesterkin. First, I wonder if Shesterkin and Ovi will have any conversations after that one punch from the playoffs a couple of years ago.
Yeah, there could be a discussion or two to have between those two fellers. Why don't we start with the goalie here? Because I think this one's also, just like Vasilevskiy,
Sorokin.
Yeah, it's Ilya Sorokin of the New York Islanders. The guy's a star, an absolute stud. No disrespect. I thought he should have been there anyways over Vasilevskiy or over Shesterkin. Like, Shesterkin's kind of rebounded. He's having an okay year now relative to what we expected. But, like, honestly, if this were me, I suppose what would have been perfect is Adam Fox probably gets the top bill for the Rangers, and then you need to have a goaltender. So then Sorokin would have got my Islanders ad, and then we could have went elsewhere with these picks. But since Sorokin was not chosen as one of the 32 teams, I went with Brock Nelson instead for the Islanders. This guy's got to be at the All-Star game. He's one of the best goalies in the world. It'd be a crime, a travesty, not to have this guy representing the Metro at the All-Star game next month in Miami.
So we are going to have Russ Cohen on soon with Rachel Donner regarding the Ivan Provorov situation where he would not wear the Pride jersey in warm-up, still was able to be in the lineup. But Russ Cohen obviously covers that tri-state area pretty well, and he had a great take. He said Ilya Sorokin is like Jake DeGrom. Like, he's got like if you're a baseball guy, you'd get the reference where it's like he puts up unbelievable numbers, but he doesn't get wins because he plays on a team that can't support him properly.
Yeah, dude. Like, I remember when the Islanders came to Toronto, I was digging into the numbers a little bit. And at the time, the Islanders, I think, were like second in the division or something like that. And then they had a really good record. But I was digging into the numbers. I'm like, this team is third worst team defensively. They're like ranked 29th in expected goals against. They gave up the most high danger shots among all teams in the National Hockey League. But then you looked at Ilya Sorokin's numbers and his goals saved above expected, his save percentage, and it's like, oh, that's why they're winning games, strictly because of that guy. It was like MVP worthy, to be honest with you, early on in the year. Those numbers have dipped a little bit of late. They've also started to score a little bit more and help him some more. So I think it could have been growing pains with Lane Lambert coming in, establishing a new, you know, structure of some kind. But still, just goes to show how good Sorokin was. He was clearly the only reason why the Islanders are still in a playoff position is because he kept them afloat early in the season when the team was playing bad.
Completely agree. So another cool note with the Metropolitan Division, I don't know how often we're going to see this going forward, but Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin together again, right? Ovi missed the All-Star game last year, personal reasons. Remember, he had to be scratched either the game before or after to call it an injury, but certainly just didn't feel like going. Don't feel like going-itis was the name of that injury. But
their whole careers have kind of been like, more so Crosby. Ovechkin, he's had some fun. Like, you always think about him in the shootout. He brings some
Montreal,
fun.
Right?
Yeah, he brings some fun to it. But, yeah, that's always kind of been an issue with the All-Star break in general. I think I had heard something. I don't know if this is fact, but I saw a report that, you know, Stamkos was going to get the vote from Tampa to be their first selection among the initial 32. And then he didn't want to go. So they said, okay, we'll send Kucherov instead. Again, don't know if that's fact, but it was something that I saw that was floated out there. And it's just something that we see happen a lot in the NHL, where you don't see it happen at the MLB or NBA All-Star games.
Yeah, 100%. So we both have Ilya Sorokin going there. Who else do you have from the Metropolitan Division?
Yeah, well, I already noted one of the guys who I think deserves to be in there, and definitely along with Dahlin in that conversation for the Norris, it's Adam Fox. Dude's having an unbelievable year, man. You go look at the numbers. It's not just offensive, but it's also defensively. Like, his metrics are really, really strong for Adam Fox. And again, it's a team that the Metro did not elect to put a defenseman in their initial voting of the teams that were all sent. So I got to put a defenseman on this team, and there's no better one in this group than Adam Fox. So to me, I think he's deserving of one of the vote-in spots for the Metro. Now, I'm actually going to maybe go a little off the board here from where you're heading, but I'm looking at a guy like Travis Konecny in the same vein where I think William Nylander deserves a lot of love for the season he's having. So is Travis Konecny, man. Like, and I know that there was a big hoopla over – you know, him not getting the nod when it originally happened, when they gave it to Kevin Hayes, and John Tortorella said he doesn't give a bleep about who gets chosen to be it. But Konecny's having himself a great, great season. So I think that'd be nice to you know, have him get rewarded for the year that he's having.
Yeah, I like that. Konecny is a good choice. Martin Nekas is a good choice out of Carolina, leads that team in scoring. Almost surprised that they went with Svechnikov over him, but that's a story.
Another, honorable mention, obviously.
Yep, I'm with you on Adam Fox, but I'm going to stick with the Rangers, man. I think Mika Zibanejad, again, a two-way centerman, but 20 goals already, over a point per game. He would be my choice. Jesper Bratt, obviously kind of an up-and-down season for the Devils, but when they've been hot, he's been a huge reason of their success. So those are a couple other names that I'd have in the mix for the Metro.
Yep, that's. I think those are probably the names that I would assume will garner the most interest. I think tomorrow or potentially Friday we hear – who do end up winning the votes. But I would imagine that those will be the names that'll be in the mix there.
Yes, they will. We have a big trade to announce. The Red Wings have acquired Jasper Weatherby from the San Jose Sharks in exchange for Kyle Crisguolo. Now, I'm not going to get your take on that minor league move, but I will say the trade season is coming soon as the NHL trade deadline approaches on March 4th. We will have everything you need to know all over the Locked On Podcast Network, local experts on the biggest stories. And I bring up local experts because we have a couple coming up on a very delicate situation happening in Philadelphia. It was Pride Night in Philly. And Ivan Provorov decided, no, the colors, they don't do it for me, the rainbow. So he decided not to wear the jersey. John Tortorella after the game citing religion. And so did Ivan Provorov, who is Russian Orthodox. I'm excited to get the takes of Russ Cohen and Rachel Donner next. And then we're going to wrap up the show with a high and a low of the last week in the Eastern Conference. And then, Mikey, we got a Battle of Ontario coming up. So we'll get to that coming up next on Locked On NHL. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Visit betonline.net and find out everything you need to know, whether it's a podcast, whether it's analysis, stats, everything that can make you wager to the best of your ability, you can find at betonline.net. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. I'm talking player performance props. Always fun to keep an eye on, especially if you cheer for a bad team. You don't have to worry about the score. You can just say, oh, my guy got four shots on goal. Thank God. I've been riding Brady Tkachuk over shots for a decade now. It might put my future kid through college. But if I went money line, it wouldn't. So make sure you get in on the player performance props and a whole lot more. Props, odds, and lines than ever before. Visit BetOnline. It's where the game starts. You're listening to Locked On NHL. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Mike DiStefano. And in what was a night for inclusion, in what was a night of celebration, the storylines coming out of it are all but. It's now a religious debate. It's now a debate on what should be the line drawn. And for more on this, we send it over to the Locked On Flyers podcast. I would recommend you go listen to this entire show, Rachel Donner and Russ Cohen. They get into how John Tortorella handled it, how the organization handled it, and how Ivan Provorov handled the situation. So here's today's episode. You can go find the entire thing on YouTube or on your audio podcast platform. We're just going to play a 5-minute clip of their intro to today's show, but you can find that Wednesday, January 18th episode of Locked On Flyers.
I am just absolutely flabbergasted at what happened with Ivan Provorov. So he doesn't go out there for warmups. People think he's scratched. He shows up on the roster for the game and he's out there on the bench, and you know, people were speculating as to what happened, and you know, rumors started swirling that he skipped warmups because it was the Flyers Pride Night game and he did not want to wear the Pride Night jerseys for warmups that had all it had was rainbow numbers and lettering. And I gotta say, it's extremely disappointing, not only that he couldn't go out there for warmups or even like consider wearing a regular jersey and not wearing it if it was a deeply held religious belief, according to Torts. It's just disappointing on his part. It's disappointing on the organization's part that they didn't scratch him. And I'm not sure how, you know, the fan reaction to this is going to be in terms of wanting him around anymore.
It's bad. It's already bad. There's no covering up for this. It's not only disappointing, like if you know, there's a lot of different things you could cite religious belief for in the world. Wearing this jersey is not one of them. It's just not. It's a positive thing. It's about just inclusiveness. It's about togetherness. There is nothing that would ever stop somebody from wearing it because it's, you know, sends the wrong message or something like that. It's ridiculous. And I really don't like or approve of the way any of this was handled.
No, and it flies against the stated values of the organization, not yes. only in the organization and having a Pride Night and the kinds of, you know, promotional activities that they have around it, but their work year round. And, you know, they've had some really positive steps forward. I mean, this team is far behind a lot of other teams in the league, to be clear, in terms of inclusivity, but they've made, you know, strides in terms of creating an inclusive atmosphere in the building that you can get thrown out for saying homophobic slurs or racist.
On the broadcast, they were doing a bit more. Like, it's been better the last since they first started.
Yeah.
And now this sets them back.
It really does. And the fact that they had to put out, you know, a statement saying we support the LGBTQ community to try and head off the publicity that was going to happen. Like, I just don't understand why, from a business perspective, you know, a higher up than John Tortorella wasn't involved in this decision, whether or not to scratch him, because that's, you know, failing in the workplace. Every other person on the team wore it. I mean, they've had a couple of players, Scott Laughton and JVR to be specific, who've been extra active in the LGBTQ plus community. And, you know, it lets down your teammates.
Yeah, this is something the whole team is doing. And this is something now that one guy didn't. And again, this is it's just the wrong time to pick religious beliefs. Like, that's just That's just my problem with this.
No, I'm as upset as your cat is, Russ, because I think that it's absolutely, you know, unconscionable in this day and age. Yeah, it's absolutely inconceivable to me that he thinks he can do that. And the fact that he got away with it.
It makes it worse. It really makes it
so much worse. Like, what did the team think was going to happen here?
I'm not sure. And it's going to be worse the day after. Like, what's going to be written about it, what's going to be said about it, the groups that are going to be posting, whatever they might say. Like, this isn't going to just go away in a day. This is, you know, this is a stain. It's a bad mark, and I'm just, you know, upset about it.
Yeah, and again, especially after the team, I think, has made slow but steady progress on this front in terms of being more inclusive across the board. And I think that, you know, there's room here for him to have these religious beliefs that he feels strongly about and not, you know, cause a problem.
Why this year? Why now? They've done this before. This is not their first Pride Night.
No, this is it's not their first Pride Night, but it's their first time where they've had Pride themed jerseys. In the past, they've had Pride tape on their sticks and it was optional. So he just didn't do it. And so that is the difference here. But it's not like, I mean, other teams have like fully designed Pride themed jerseys for warmups with a different logo and all this. This is literally just putting rainbows on the numbers. And like, come on, dude. Anyway.
Like, what if it was SpongeBob? Would he cite religious belief for that? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I know. It's just ridiculous. Like, the whole thing is ridiculous. And the fact that the team doesn't know how to handle this from a PR perspective is a problem.
You're listening to Locked On NHL, your team every day. I'm Ross Levitan alongside Mike DiStefano. For more, you can tune in on YouTube, Locked On NHL there. You can also follow the show, Locked On NHL Podcasts, on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you get your podcasts, your social media. You have local experts on the biggest stories right here. It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And it's moments like this where we appreciate having such a diverse culture at Locked On Podcast Network, where everyone understands that to grow the game, it's all about having more people feel welcome in the game. So I'm glad that Rachel got to say that there on that note. Mikey, what's going on in the Leafs land right now?
You know what? I mean, things are relatively calm in Leafs land, which isn't, I think that's a good thing. Like,
well, not in my mentions.
Jesus. What do you mean not in your mentions? What's going on in your mentions?
Man, I'll pull it up just for the people.
Oh, is it because you're beaking off about Matt Murray over there?
What are we going to do? Go back and forth every single time he has a good game, then a bad game. Like, we know that's Matt Murray. That's the cycle. So I put it up. I was happy to get roasted, but then last night I took a little lap around the mentions there. Just, I don't reply. I just throw the like, you know that I see this today too.
You're the pettiest person. And I respect you so much for it.
I love it.
But yeah, like that dominated a lot of conversation today. And you know, for those who were able to watch the Leafs broadcast nationally, it was noted that there could be some structural issues with what's going on with Matt Murray with the glove and his issue with the high glove might be leaning towards his blocker side a little bit, not squared up, and it's allowing a lot more space back there. I mean, a conversation that I was having today on Leafs Lunch was, you know, I would hope that if the media are catching on to that type of stuff, then hopefully Curtis Sanford is, and, you know, over the next couple of days, I can try and correct some of those, you know, mechanical structural issues and get this guy getting back to, you know, the form that he was playing in when he was in a really hot stretch there in November.
Yes, fair. So the Toronto Maple Leafs, do they play? They play tomorrow. They got Winnipeg tomorrow, right?
They got the Peg where you are currently residing. I'm curious what the buzz is like in the Peg, because I'll be honest with you. I think this is sparking up to be quite the rivalry The last couple of times these two teams have faced each other, it's gotten gritty. You know, there's nothing better than beating the Leafs. We heard that over and over and over again from Mark Scheifele, Adam Stanley, or Logan Stanley holding up the helmet there after the fight. You know, Neil Pionk, neon knee suspensions. Like, there's been a lot of chippiness between these two. It's turning into a really good rivalry. So I'm curious if the Jets fans kind of see it the same way. What's the city like with this game coming up tomorrow?
100%. I think fans are just super excited with the way that this team's been playing all season. Like, they're sitting tied for top spot in the Western Conference, not their division, which they are as well, because Dallas is right there with them, but top spot in the entire Western Conference. And they didn't make any changes after missing the playoffs last year. Their biggest change was bringing in Sam Gagner on the ice.
Right. But their biggest change was bringing in a new bench boss in Rick Bonus. And I know what it's like because I host a show, a hockey show, Leafs Lunch here in Toronto. You know, you work for a radio station out in Winnipeg. How loud are the people of Peg right now when it comes to giving Bonus some Coach of the Year Jack Adams love?
Yeah, I think so. But you know what? Fans are almost more dialed in to Josh Norrissey, they're calling him here.
Yeah, as it should be, man. He's having a good year. Great. Good race for the Norris this year. There's like four or five guys like Eric Carlson. We just mentioned Dahlin, Adam Fox. Can't forget about Cale Makar. Like Josh Norrissey, as we're now referencing him as. Going to be a great race for the Norris. That might be the one that I'm most excited about at this point.
I wish his name wasn't Josh, because like it just obviously as a Sens guy, it puts my brain Norris. Like Josh Norrissey. Like, I don't know. And Vezina Buck, but that one doesn't roll off the tongue as well.
I've
but
never heard that one. Is that what's floating around in the Peg right now?
It's actually the Winnipeg Jets bio on Twitter. It's like the team of Josh Norrissey and Connor Vezina Buck. So
I'll drop that tomorrow in our pregame.
Yeah. You got to. But man, no, this is a team where they just have buy-in. Like Mark Scheifele was a shell of himself last year. I'm sure on this show I said that he might be up for trade debates, and now he looks like one of the best value contracts in the league.
He said it himself in the summer that he was up for trade debates. And he had to talk about that. I don't know if you saw when they were in Montreal yesterday. I'm sure you did. Winnipeg. He had to speak to him.
Is that not Dubois?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I was talking about Scheifele.
Yeah, Dubois too. I mean, both of those guys have been in trade talks and might not be around for too long. But yeah, you said Scheifele. I don't know why I thought you said Dubois. But either way, both of them in the same situation there. When it comes to not knowing what their future is, and speak on summer, and they're both just, you know, plugging away, having some great seasons and campaigns. We're pulling a Pilsy here, pal. We're pulling a Pilsy. We're getting too in depth in Western Conference chat.
I know. Okay, no, but it's all built in because the initial question was that means it's a back to back for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Friday night, Sens Leafs. Oh, that's next week.
Damn. I was gonna say, I'm like, that's next week, buds.
Oh, I wanted the Matt Murray question so bad. Do you think he starts that game?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. We thought 100%. That second game of the season, but wow. He decided after morning skate, he didn't want to do it.
Yeah. Well, let's not.
Damn it. I'm a week early. I was so excited.
We'll have to talk about it on next week's Wednesday Locked On show.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's some chaos going on in Ottawa right now. Mathieu Joseph missed 16 games with injury. He's got his brother with the Pittsburgh Penguins in Ottawa tonight, Wednesday night, and he is a healthy scratch. DJ Smith could have just said, we want him to get a couple more practices in. He hasn't played in over a month. He's healthy, and he's not playing and wouldn't say why. So now fans are going, why? Something has to have happened because they have a bottom six winger sets right now of Derek Brassard, Parker Kelly, Austin Watson, and the fourth one's even slipping my mind. That's how beneficial
it's been. Stelich?
Sorry. No, he's playing center. I don't mind him at fourth line center. Dylan Gambrell with his one goal, no assists in his last 25 games.
I need Mark Kostelic to be a superstar in the National Hockey League. What are the odds that's going to happen? I have opened up so many of his rookie cards, and I just need it to be worth something for me to be excited. I got a clear cut. I got a canvas. I got an exclusive. I swear to God, I ended up with basically the entire rainbow of Mark Kostelic. I opened up like six boxes, and that's all I kept getting. I'm like, hilarious. Why can't this be you know, one of the better players, like Matty Beniers, clear cuts. But no, it's got to be a Marcus Stelich. Jeez.
Yeah. Hey, he's going to be a good face-off guy, but that's as much hype as I could give you around
Manny
that.
Malhotra. So he's Manny Malhotra.
At his best, I think he's Manny Malhotra. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't
maybe,
think
maybe Zenon Konopka. Maybe Zenon Konopka.
Zenon Konopka? Yeah, I remember him as a fighter, not a face-off guy.
Dude, Zenon Konopka used to be on the Sens top power play unit. He'd snap it back and skate as fast as he could off the ice.
Oh, face-off, get-off guy.
Yeah. I actually looked it up today because somebody commented because we were talking about the return of Josh Norris and he's not going to take faceoffs. Giroux is. And I was like, you know what? Giroux's been one of the top faceoff guys the last decade. I looked it up and since the year 2000, only Yannick Perreault, throwback name, and Rod Brind'Amour have a better faceoff percentage than Zenon Konopka.
Wow.
Career 64%.
Man, people sleeping on Zenon Konopka then. He's local to me. He's Niagara-on-the-Lake guy.
Yeah, he is. 100%. Interesting. So who impressed you last week in the NHL? We'll wrap up with this and then hand it over to Power Ranking Thursday here at Locked On NHL.
Who has impressed me in the last week in the, like a team or a player?
Easy. You take that wherever you want.
Wherever I want to take that. I mean, I think the Devils are always going to be an interesting team. So I can go hand in hand and go with the Devils and like Jack Hughes. This guy's been on a tear. Got 9 goals last 8 games. The Devils have won 5 in a row, and they're back to being that powerhouse they were back in November when they rattled off, was it 14 straight wins until they ran into the slump-busting Toronto Maple Leafs, I might add. So I give some love to Jack Hughes and what he's been able to do as of late and you know, leading that team. He's got 14 points in 8 games, 9 goals in 8 games of late. So that squad's starting to get back onto the winning ways. For a while there, they were starting to slip a little bit, and they were becoming, you know, one of those teams that were teetering on the playoff bubble, and then they went out and rattled off 5 straight wins, and now they got a little bit more comfort in the standings.
Speaking of comfort in the standings, a team that we had no doubt was going to make a push.
Can I have one more shout-out, by the way? Yeah. Just because we're on the topic of the Devils, our boy. Trey Matthews,
yes,
Locked On Devils, got to do play-by-play for the Erie Otters, just the second African-American to do play-by-play for the Ontario Hockey League, and he got to do that on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, so I thought that was really cool. So really a special shout-out, congrats to Trey Matthews. I listened to a couple of the clips, a couple of goal calls, and they were great. Hopefully he can keep going with this. I know he's at Arizona State University. Maybe he'll be calling Coyotes games for them at some point here. I mean, why not, right? One in Rome. But shout out too. We talk about some of the goods. I mean, we're talking about the Devils, not only on the ice, but also the guys cover him off the ice. And Trey Matthews, he's having a lot of fun. A good week for that guy.
Yeah, heck yeah, for sure. He got to cover the team in New Jersey during the Christmas break. I guess he was back home in the tri-state area. And now here he is making history. Second person of color to ever call a CHL game when he did that in Erie. It was in Erie, Pennsylvania, right? Yep. I know Erie was in the game, but yeah, in Erie. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome, awesome stuff. So congrats to Trey Matthews. I was just going to give a shout out to the Tampa Bay Lightning, who we knew were going to rebound from a less than ideal start. Now they've rattled off 8 wins in their last 10 games. They're on a 4-game winning streak. Their only losses came on the road in Minnesota, in Winnipeg. They are an unbelievable hockey team, and they deserve to be a top 3 team in the Atlantic. It was crazy when you looked. I know it's early season, but they started this year like, I don't even think it was crazy to say it was a slump, right? They started the year 7-6-1. Like they are not a 500 team.
No, God no. And you could say the same thing about the guys who are in that same Stanley Cup final on the other end of the conference. Similar situation. They've gotten off to a really slow start in the Colorado Avalanche, currently not in a playoff spot. But I think we all expect them to be there when all said and done. And they've kind of started a couple of big wins actually of late. I think they got to get healthy, and they'll be similar to the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're still contenders. Don't you worry.
So next week we will discuss the Battle of Ontario. I got a little ahead of myself. It's a wild weekend for Ottawa next weekend. It goes Leafs Friday, Habs Saturday, Habs next Tuesday. So 3 straight division rival games. but the season's already over, so does it really matter? We'll pretend it does.
I got one question for you, because I thought about you in particular last night. Maybe it had something to do with you tossing out a Matt Murray chirp, but is it upsetting as a Sens fan to see Philip Gustavsson being an absolute stud in Minnesota? Did you see that save last night?
Yeah, where he, like, a little scorpion type kick.
Oh, it was outrageous. Outrageous.
Yeah. I don't know where this, like, he had a nice little stretch during the COVID year when he came up. I think he had a 933 save percentage in like 10 or 11 games. He was brutal in Belleville and brutal last year in the NHL. I think it was like five different times where he had two goals against in the first 3 minutes of the game. But hey, he definitely showed little glimpses here and there, but I think I'm more happy for him. But then I look, and in the Sens system, or whatever they call a system, I think that's really the issue in Ottawa, is he's not the first, and unless there's change in Ottawa, won't be the last where a guy blows up. Dude, Nick Paul has 16 goals this year. Like,
Nick Paul, baby, and the guy that got four, Matthew Joseph, you said, not even playing.
Yeah.
Not even playing.
Yeah, there's some, you know what? The glimmer of hope is the new ownership. And the more that this team continues to trip over themselves, the more likely they bring in their own guys right away.
So really quickly, just to I guess, further push the narrative of Philip Gustavsson being a stud this year.
Yeah.
18 games, 11-6-1 record, a 926 save percentage, and a 216 goals against average.
Including a win over Ottawa.
Including a victory over Ottawa. And you may say, well, plays for a really good Minnesota Wild team. Do you want to know what the numbers are for the other guy who starts for the Minnesota Wild?
Yeah, not good.
A 905 save percentage and a 286 goals against average. So I don't think it's the team. I think it's the player, and kind of turning into a pretty good one, I would say. Good young goaltender. Cam Talbot.
Had his moments both ways this year. Let's put it that way. He's had, I think the perfect example of Cam Talbot was the game against St. Louis. He let in two goals. One of them was like one of the worst goals of the year, where he just mishandled the puck right to him. But then he bared down and made 30 saves in a row, because it was two goals in the first eight shots and then made 30 saves back-to-back, and you're not going to win when you score one goal. So this team has so many problems. It's awesome. And I'm officially off the DJ wagon. I made that clear on today's Locked On Senators. So if you'd like to hear me chirp and prod about that, even though the streets are talking, let's put it that way, and Matthew Joseph might have earned a healthy scratch. Let's put it that way. But that's still speculation at this point, but we're all over it. We are on the streets, we're patrolling, and we're trying to find answers to what is going on, because the gong show continues in the nation's capital. Yep. Any final thoughts today's show? Or you just want to talk about Philip Gustavsson?
I just wanted to quickly see how you were feeling about your boy. You used to refer to him as Philly franchise.
I know, but I also said that I wanted to leave him exposed to Seattle. I was over him after I watched him in Belleville up close. I was like, this guy, I was a Joey Decord guy. Decord putting up good numbers in the AHL still. So maybe my takes are just brutal on that overall. And every good
game. How's Ovi doing, by the way?
Who?
How's Ovi doing?
Oh, pretty good. 30 goals. Is that good?
I don't know. Ask yourself a month ago.
Oh, man.
But you're saved, because you were 100% correct on the David Pastrnak MVP conversation.
Yes. And he should be an all-star.
Yeah, that cancels everything out. So we're even, Steven.
Come find out which brutal take we'll have next week on Locked On NHL. For today, we say goodbye, though. For Mike DiStefano, I'm Ross Levitan. This has been the Locked On NHL podcast, your team every day.